Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It is my pleasure to welcome back Alan Ross to the podcast. Welcome back, Alan.
It's good to be with you, James.
So, Alan, for those that may not be familiar with you, you are Vice President of Reliability at SD Myers.
Yeah, I might be, but actually I am actually the President of the Electric Power Reliability Alliance starting next week. So that's the title I'm going to use starting next week.
All right, excellent. So how long have you been involved with electrical power, reliability, all these great things?
It started about 30 years ago, actually. I used to do not quite mergers and acquisitions, but I used to do bringing good companies together and bringing in a weak company with a stronger company. And I ended up doing a merger between Sun Ohio and SD Myers. And we actually merged Sun Ohio into SD Myers. The current president of SD Myers was the president and owner of Sun Ohio. So that's when I started getting involved with transformer work, but not necessarily anything. I was on the board for a while. We stayed in touch. I watched the company grow, but sell off a lot to GE. And in that process, I learned a lot about, again, transformers, because we sold off Rewind. We sold off a lot of different facilities, but they were all transformers. They were not motors. They were not anything else. Then about 10 years ago, I sold my company, and I'd like to say I made enough money to say I'm done with everything. However, we actually sold the IP to Sherwin-Williams. And in selling to Sherwin-Williams, I realized I needed insurance. So I went to my friend Dale 10 years ago and said, hey, you give me insurance, I will consult for insurance. You know how that sign says I will work for food? I will consult for insurance. Long and short of it was, he said, see the future. And that's what I do well. And we saw the future was beyond transformers. So I started getting involved in electric power, got involved with the reliability world about 7 years ago, seriously. And that was primarily through SMRP in a conference that I attended. No one talked about electrical systems. Not one vendor, not one presentation was about electrical systems. And here over at Myers, we're watching plants go down, $50 million loss, $1 million loss. And I thought, okay, there's a problem here. And that's when I kind of invented the whole electric power reliability for industrial and commercial. And since then, that has just taken off. So that's a long-winded way to say, from 30 years to 20 years to 10, finally, electric power reliability about 7 years ago.
All right, excellent. And you know what? I've seen the same thing. I'm an electrician by trade.
Yeah.
You never really hear about a lot of electrical reliability. You don't hear that. You hear a lot about rotating equipment, mechanical systems, those sorts of things. So it's definitely needed out there, because I've seen more than one or two significant failures as a result of not paying attention to the electrical end.
Oil analysis, lube analysis, vibration analysis of rotating equipment and everything is wonderful. That part of the reliability world is really beginning to grow up. However, you're right, they have none of that on the electrical side. So we're taking the same concepts, terms, reliability principles, if you will, and just applying them to a different asset class. Now, I also got involved with the International Asset Managers Association, IAM, and the people that brought us or are bringing us ISO 55000 about 5 years ago. So I started looking at electric power reliability more from the reliability of a system versus the reliability of an asset. And that has been That's kind of my mantra for next year. I'd made a couple of talks this year already about that. And people, I just did one at the GE monitoring and diagnostic program for customers. So it was their customers that were there. And I think it opened up a lot of eyes to people going, you know what? We've been looking at maintenance a little. Now we're starting to look at reliability, but they're looking at assets. We need to be looking at reliability of a system. And that's true whether it's industrial, commercial, utility, it doesn't matter. And I think that's going to be the next future for electrical system reliability, is system reliability.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I'm guessing that is going to lead into what we're here to talk about today. Not so much the nuts and bolts of electrical reliability, but more so the Electric Power Reliability Alliance.
Yes.
What is the EPRA?
So it really started, I am blessed to be at a point in my life where I really want to focus on what I leave behind. You know, that's, I think there's three things. Within our alliance, we have a thing called Legends, where we're going to be doing podcasts. So James, I'm going to turn around and podcast you as one of my future legends. But the idea is, be a lifelong learner, be willing to share with non-proprietary, right? Be willing to share so it helps everybody. And then thirdly, always leave it better than you found it. So I'm getting to live that right now. And I started looking at the whole thing and thought, the poor guys that are responsible for electrical power reliability throughout SMRP and Reliability Web and some of the current associations, I realized nobody's really helping them. So I said, hey, let's just get together. It was kind of a loose, if you will, group of people from companies like WestRock and Domtar and refineries, Enbridge, people like that. We actually had the gentleman who's in charge of electrical reliability for Constellation Brands, who's now in charge of all reliability for Facebook, George Parada. We kind of created a loose alliance. We would meet up at conferences. And then last year, I talked to my boss, who's the chairman and CEO of our holding company, Dale Bissonette, and said, I want to do something different. I'm kind of done with Myers. I think, you know, we've got a lot of reliability things happening. The reliability segment of Myers is growing 68%. Nobody's growing 68%. We're a 55-year-old company. We've never seen growth like that because we have a reliability focus. Now, I put a team in place. They're doing great. But now I'm looking at the guys responsible, the practitioners. And really, it came from Larry Bryant at Domtar. He said, Alan, there's a lot of reliability things going on. But what's happened is they've now become about the conference, and they've become about getting bigger with membership, and they've become about, you know, they get bigger. And I understand that. But they're not focused on the practitioner as much anymore. It's really about selling stuff to companies. And we're seeing, you know, less and less. So I decided that I'm going to make a practitioner to practitioner alliance that is going to protect that and preserve that, practitioner to practitioner. But they don't know how to share because they're from different companies. And they're also not really on the journey to reliability. Most of them are just starting. So we've said, hey, what if we brought in all of the 22 assets, electrical assets for high voltage systems? Eventually, I see us going medium voltage and then possibly low. But what if we looked at all of those assets and looked at the standards for testing and maintenance by every standards organization, particularly the NFPA, NEDA, IEEE? We did that. And we looked at the industry and said, oh my gosh, if 100% of doing it exactly the way the industry standards are, best practices, if that was the standard, do we have anybody doing it close? And the closest I got was about 8%. So there's a woeful need to take those 22 assets, which are changing, by the way. So those 22 assets, like relays, are changing. We're going from mechanical, electromechanical, to solid state, and that's changing the entire electrical system. But you got 50-year-old transformers in your system, and you got 40-year-old cables in your system. So you got aging and all of these different complex things, and the poor guys in the electrical side are responsible for keeping a plant running, responsible for keeping data centers running, but unfortunately, they're at huge risk. As we began to identify it, that group of people came together and they became the EPRA advisory board before I even had an EPRA. So it was born out of industry and commerce, and it's just been a delight. So we've had the Cleveland Clinic as part of our alliance, and data centers, the folks that GBRE, the people that manage a lot of buildings and everything, they're part of the alliance. So it's kind of blown up. They're the practitioners. And as a result, now we look at the resource partners and say, hey, I don't want to do an expo where I charge you X amount of money and it becomes about the money. I want you to come and teach. So we created a summit, which happens actually the week after next in September, but it was in partnership with the University of Texas at Austin with their Center for Electromechanical Research, which is incredible. It's an incredible place. And Dr. Hebner and Shannon Strank, who are the people that run that, got the vision real quick, and they decided that they would take the academic vertical. So we have an academic, a practitioner, a resource group, and then an alliance group. And finally, we have a risk management group, the insurance companies, who are the ones that are at risk for all of these. So we want to bring them in, but we don't want them to tell everybody what to do. We want the industry standards to tell everybody what to do.
So there's a tremendous amount of people, companies, and thought behind EPRA right now. It sounds massive.
It's been an incredible year building it to the point that we actually go public, announce it, and I'll take the role of president for at least the next 2 to 3 years, and I will raise up my successor, who I hope is a practitioner. I'm a practitioner by default, because I've never really been, I'm not a EE, I'm an ME. I've run production facilities, so I understand it from that perspective. But even when I owned a factory and I had production, I never even thought about the electrical system. I figured that was up to the utility, right? The truth is, I own the substation on the other side of the fence. And I look back 20 years ago, and it's just by blind luck, being blessed or luck that we did not have an unplanned outage because of electrical system.
Yeah, absolutely. So the goal behind EPRA is to really get the resources, get the knowledge, get the skills to the practitioners, correct?
That's correct. Awareness, understanding, and application. You got to be aware of the problem. You got to understand what to do about it. And you have to have application tools to do something about it. Now, EPRA owns none of the application tools. We want to bring in other people, but we also want to look at the best practices that are happening out there right now and have practitioners share them. That becomes the knowledge vault, if you will. The body of knowledge of like SMRP or Reliability Web is great, but in truth, I don't think it's a usable body of knowledge. You search and you look for something and you'll find people's opinions. What we need is standards. If it doesn't adhere to a standard, guess what it is? It's not a fact, it's an opinion. And I don't want any proprietorization in there. You can't come in and bring your way as the only way. That's happening a lot in the utility world, and it is causing great chaos. I have a dear friend who is a senior level VP of T&D for a major municipality. And he's got Maximo, he's got Cascade, he's got SAP, and he's got a couple of other, he's got a Doble program. None of them speak to each other. They're all proprietary, and they have all their proprietary information. We can't afford to do that at the industrial level because we got to make a profit. That guy's got to run the factory to make a profit. And so what we want to be able to do is to cost effectively give people tools to be able to do industry standards. And that way, if they do have a failure, because I'm saying, you'll never, ever, ever make it failure proof. But if we do have one, it should be one that they can go back and say, you didn't give me enough money to maintain this electrical system to standard. I've been asking for it for 3 years. Right now, we're not asking for or getting enough money. The electrical system is a run-to-failure system. That is a catastrophe waiting to happen. I want to change it so our electrical system reliability members, practitioners of EPRA, can take industry standard tools to their bosses and say, guys, we better start thinking about life cycle analysis, not of the rotating equipment, not of the conveyors, not of all of those things. They're productive, but none of them work if that system goes down. And we have not been paying attention to it. That's happening. People are buying, but you cannot buy your way to reliability on an electrical system. Why? Because they're not made the way they've been made. And it's the beginning for us. We are right now at the beginning of making the entire company aware and then understand. So I'm going to put power, EPRA is going to put power in the hands of the practitioner to be able to say, this is what we need to do, practical planning. And we're not going to get into the scheduling and the support. That's up for others to do. But practical planning and budgeting so that they can go to their bosses and say, I got $500,000 that needs to be spent on the electrical system next year. And their bosses are going to say, we don't have that much money. But what can we do? And then we do the priorities. And then the next priorities, it might take us 3 years, but we'll get there, as opposed to, hey, it failed. Now let's go fix something.
All right. Excellent. So that body of knowledge is not going to be the concepts, the high level thought process. It's going to be, if you have a transformer of this size, you need to do dissolved gas to oil analysis. You need to do this. You need to do that at this frequency to monitor for this, correct? It's going to get to that level of detail.
Absolutely. That level of detail. And we've got a sister company that's going to create an app, or it's already created. We're presenting next week that you can document that in there according to, again, NFPA, IEEE, whatever standard it is. So you can look at it. So when they say, well, why do you want to do that? You can say, because that's standard. That is best practice standard, and promote it.
All right. Excellent. So these are tangible tools that EPRA is creating for the practitioner on maintaining their electrical system.
Correct.
Now, I got to ask the question. So being an electrician, I've seen it. You've seen it. Why is it that electrical systems and their reliability goes ignored? I have my own ideas, but I want to hear yours first.
I think there's two main topics to it. It has been so reliable for so long, it's been forgotten. I mean, transformer, this is power transformers. The average age of power transformers in industrial America is 38 years old. 38 years. So if the mean time between failures, 38 years, we forget about it, right? We don't do anything with it. Now it's come to roots. We got the problems. That's number one. And number two is all of the maintenance and reliability. Well, first of all, maintenance, but look at SMRP and look at Reliability Web. 99% of what they talk about until we started talking about it. And so we're that 1%. Now we're going to grow to, because they're going to be alliance partners. I'm not replacing them. I'm augmenting them. And none of them talk about electrical systems. So guess where all the money goes? It goes to the productive side, because the plant manager says, that's my bread and butter. That's how I make money. All P&L stop at the plant manager. So that entire maintenance department is built on the idea of maintaining, not necessarily reliability, but maintaining those other systems. And I think that those are the two primary reasons in my mind. What's your thought?
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
I think the biggest one for me, and you hit it first, was the fact that it's so reliable most of the time. You don't notice or you forget about it. You know, I remember the first time I was a maintenance manager, I had a site with a 55-year-old transformer outside. Couldn't find any records of any oil analysis, nothing. So we got some oil analysis. It was still good. All, you know, a little bit of high moisture content. So we brought in one of those big dryers on a truck. They dried it out. They did all that fancy stuff. But the thing ran for no problem for 55 years up at that point. And it's, you know what, 7 years later, that is still there. at least it's on a maintenance program now. They're checking it, they're monitoring it, doing those types of things. But I think their electrical equipment in general is so reliable that you forget about it, just like you said.
Yeah, it is the other side. There's another part. We have in industry always thought that the utilities was responsible to get quality and consistent power when I needed it. So Frost and Sullivan did a report. I got a hold of it, and it was amazing. They did it in 18 and did it again in 19. And they asked industrial and commercial customers how much confidence they had in their utilities to provide consistent quality power. And you know what? 72% said they had very little or no confidence. 72%. You know why? Because 78% had shutdowns or unplanned outages for at least 5 minutes or less. Well, utility doesn't count anything that is below 5 minutes. 5 minutes for a plant can be millions of dollars of losses, right?
Absolutely.
If it's a steel plant, you're running, you know, furnace transformers and you shut power down, you're not going to have generation backup for that. And so consequently, the problem becomes, it goes from 0 to 100 in terms of complexity of the problem and the cost of the problem. It's on or off, it's broken or not. And that's just not the way the maintenance or reliability world has thought about rotating equipment and vibration and all of that. That's all of the things that work over there. So the people that do IR, the Snell Group are the best trainers. And I know we've got UE Systems and we've got SDT for ultrasound. And you got IM Corp is the best at cable testing and maintenance. So we brought all of them. They are all resource partners of EPRA. So we're giving them access to where they've been trying to say this. Hey, your cable system has had 7 splices. You know, don't replace the whole thing. You got one area of splice. Your 55-year-old transformer, it may be the best thing on earth. It may not need to be replaced for another 20 years. They were so well and overbuilt. We've got 6 100-year-old plus transformers, over 100 years old. Now, if they'd have replaced them a year ago, they probably would have had a less reliable transformer because it was built for a specific purpose and it was overbuilt. And I think it was Massey Ferguson or Alice Chalmers or somebody like that that built it. But goodness gracious, age is not a good indicator of quality of the asset, especially as it relates to two things, cables and transformers. Now, when you start looking at switches and switchgear and you start looking at relays and you start looking at capacitance, which a lot of people are having to do now, I got to create some level of battery backup, you know, generator backup is not enough. And everybody's looking at that. Well, that changes the system. That 55-year-old transformer may continue to work well, but you may now create harmonics in your line to your major feed because you put in a relay system that is using solid state. It's not using the old electromechanicals. You know, breakers are changing dramatically. And breakers are one thing. They're broke or they're not. They're on or they're off. So you can't afford to not have a great testing and maintenance program on your breakers. And for most people, they do what is the minimum. So we're trying to set a standard at EPRA. And, there are going to be practitioners that say, well, you know, we can't play at that standard. Fine. Then you as a corporation have made a decision that you're not going to play to the industry's best standards. If you have an unplanned outage, somebody will be responsible. If you say we want to have this standard and maintain to it, and we want to test to that standard, and you have an outage, you've done the very best that you can. I happen to like Siemens and ABB and GE, the big boys. I like their transformers. I think they're great. No one ever got fired from buying from those guys. But if you got a transformer from Acme Transformer Company, a 3-year startup in Dubuque, Iowa, and it goes up on you, guess what? They're going to say, what'd you buy? And you say, well, I didn't buy the Siemens. You know, I bought the Acme. So what we want to create is a set of standards that the practitioner can look to and say, hey, I got the best. And we do know, you know, James, this is really important. When I first looked at the landscape of 22 assets and all of the testing that's done, and we looked at it, we said, this is going to be incredibly difficult for somebody to implement. So we put it into this PowerPro package that you could just look, click here. Here's the asset, click there. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Here's what I'm doing. What's the gap? That's as simple as that. Here's what it should be. Here's what I'm doing. Here's the gap. And I choose not to do what I should be doing because it costs too much money. My company won't pay for it. Or I'm going to do that after I do the priorities. Now, they got to go back and decide what is a priority. But this is going to be, in my terms, we want to give them the best planning tools possible to be able to live up to industry best standards through EPRA.
Sounds, you know, all the right things are happening. We're talking about electrical reliability. You know, it's not the age of the assets. Like you mentioned, some of those are overbuilt many times over. So they're going to last, they'll outlive me probably, some of those. But some of the new ones may not. So all these different things come together to help us better understand how we should be maintaining the reliability of our electrical systems. Now, how can people get involved with EPRI to start learning, start getting better at this stuff?
Well, remember, EPRI is the Electric Power Research Institute, which the major utilities actually own and run. It's a nonprofit that just does research for the utilities. EPRA is the Electric Power Reliability Alliance, and we are an industrial and commercial.
My apologies.
You know, hey, I didn't pick EPRA by chance. Okay. I don't mind people saying, well, haven't you guys been around a long time? The idea is, well, you might have heard of EPRI, but we are not them. However, by bringing in an academic vertical to this, and now there are seven different universities that do testing and research on major electrical systems, I think we've kind of touched a chord there where we can actually now start the academics researching things and doing projects that would benefit us. Because as I said, you know, there's a change where the utility is now saying our job is to get the power to the fence. Your job is to make sure it's on all the time and it's quality. And that's a lot more than the industrial world, the commercial world has been doing for high voltage. They've pretty much assumed they were getting consistency and they're getting quality. And the Frost and Sullivan report indicated they're not. So they got to do something themselves. And that's not fair to blame it on the utilities. They got a whole other set of problems, particularly cybersecurity. I happen to be on the IEEE Smart Grid Cybersecurity Committee. And the amount of work that we've done is tremendous. But the amount of risk we've still got is just as tremendous. We got a long way to go before we have a secure grid. And so consequently, that's where the utility world's got to focus. They can't afford to make sure that I get the right power quality to my machine. That's my job. As a practitioner in industry and commerce, that's my job. So getting involved, www.epra.com will be the website. Unfortunately, it's not today. It will be live next week. That is the week of September 15th. I don't know when this actually runs. But until then, they can just contact, alan.ross@sdmyers.com, and then I will soon have that changed over to EPRA.
All right, excellent. So we've talked about EPRA. What is the thing?
Well done, James.
It wouldn't be the first time I made that mistake. So what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today? Is it to go to the website? Is it to start thinking about electrical reliability? What is the one thing you want our listeners to do?
I think it's most of the people that are listening are either going to be in reliability or something on the mechanical side, is to find a leader, one person, one individual on the electrical side of your plant or your company. It can be a double E, it could be the reliability engineer. But find somebody that you can champion and say, hey, look, find out more about EPRA, find out more about their summit, EPRS, find out how you can lead the charge at our company. Because the ones that we've seen have been successful, the Tony Dotsons and the Larry Bryants and all of the different people, there's a probably now 15 that I see as true leaders within their companies of doing it. They all have that in common. They are all the leaders of a corporate program. Whether it is a corporate or just your site, it's to be a leader. And then we're going to give you a lot of tools, a lot of planning, a lot of things to be able to say, okay, this is how I'm going to put it together, including how do you put together an electrical reliability change management team? You got to get a lot of people involved. You got to get procurement involved, IT involved. You got to get the maintenance department involved. You need operations involved. How do you get them involved to really support electrical system reliability? That's step one. If they do it the old way they do it, they get a bunch of people that call SD Myers for testing of transformers. That will not work. You need to have some peer leadership oomph to be able to make this thing work. And we're putting those practitioners that I just mentioned, the 15, they're the ones that at the summit are showcasing how they did it. So we got people that are ahead of the game. They're applying the tools. They're making change. And we got Terry O'Hanlon's coming in and running a session on barriers. How do you overcome the barriers to change for electrical system reliability? And you know Terry O'Hanlon. He's kind of a what do we call Terry? He's he's not a guru of reliability, but he is certainly the evangelist of reliability, right? And we got people from SMRP that are coming. So we've got both of the major reliability associations / alliances, whatever you want to call them, participating in this. They all agreed in the one thing. First thing is find a leader, build a leadership team, and then begin to apply what EPRA gives you, all of the tools. It's going to take years, 3 to 7, I anticipate, for most plants or most organizations. But if, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? Now. If you hadn't planted it 20 years ago, it's now.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. Excellent. So, Alan, I will definitely make sure to put links to all of this stuff in the show notes. But where can people find out more about you, EPRA, SD Myers, all these things? Where can they find out more?
Well, there's a couple of places, but the easiest one right now is the alan.ross, alan.ross at sdmyers.com. Another easy one is alan.ross at transformer-technology.com, because that's a magazine that we created. Has nothing to do with Myers or EPRA or anything. It's a whole separate thing about transformer technology and reliability. And I'm the editor in chief of that. So I work both on that, the Myers side. And again, as I said, pretty soon here in a couple of weeks, I will be doing primarily EPRA and transformer technology.
So I see this retirement thing really worked out for you.
Okay, so James, I'm 68 years old, and my biggest wish is I were 50, because there's so many fun, exciting things to happen. The other part of what I want to do is I need to build leaders. That's always been the thing that I've done well, is to create. I tell this to, I want to be a mentor to mentors. I don't want to be a mentor to the people who need it. I want to be a mentor to members. I want to be a disciple maker of disciple makers. And that's what we need. We need more mentors and disciple makers. And that's what we're building up with EPRA.
Excellent. Excellent. And you also have a podcast, right? So what is that?
I do. It is on transformertechnology.com. It's also Energy Central supports it. And they do that under the Smart Grid Reliability Alliance, which we are going to actually change as part of the EPRA to the Grid Edge Alliance for Reliability, which is called GEAR, because we're not trying to speak to the utility industry, but all of the problems that I talk about industrials having, guess what? Munis and co-ops have them too. So we're going to address that as part of EPRA, but we're going to do it through the Grid Edge Alliance for Reliability. And I'm pleased to say that Dan Smith, who was the former head of T&D for Austin Energy and is now a senior executive at LRCA after his retirement, LCRA, sorry, Lower Colorado River Authority. He's going to head up that GEAR group. So we've got a lot that's going to happen in that part of the industry, because I think there's a difference between reliability at the grid edge than there is for the big utilities that are creating and transmitting power. So generation and transmission is one thing. Down to the grid distribution is another. And there is not a lot being done, in my opinion, for reliability at the grid edge. So we're going to bring that.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, definitely a tremendous amount happening in electrical reliability. I want to thank you, Alan, for taking the time to introduce us to and talk to us about EPRA, Electrical Power Reliability Alliance. It's great to see a group out there focusing on electrical reliability. I truly appreciate it. But thank you so much.
James, thank you. And so vice versa, I want you to be on my podcast for, and we call it Legends, but you're either a future legend or a current legend, and you're a future legend in the making. So we'll talk.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing the small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.